Coming up on The Potter's Touch.
When God got ready to create all of humanity, he did it through the body of one man. When God got ready to redeem the world, he did it through one man. When God got ready to deliver Israel from Egypt, he did it through one man. God uses one man. Why can't it be you? Why can't it be you? Why can't it be you? But Paul says that Jesus died to raise us up together and make us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. By grace are ye saved. And I want you to look at that scripture, and I want you to look at that scripture closely and see how many times you see us and not me. Us and not you. That what Paul is trying to do is bring a cohesiveness together, and he calls the Gentiles by name, and then he deals with the law by name. And if you just read Ephesians 2, if you study nothing else but Ephesians 2, it will help you to understand what the church is and what the church is not, and how God has made this new thing that is neither this nor that. It is neither Jew nor Gentile. It is neither bond nor free. It is neither Greek nor Jew. It is neither male nor female. It is this one new man. Now, when I use the term man, I'm not talking about man as it relates to gender. This is not a misogynic ideology promoting one gender above another. I'm talking about human. I'm talking about humanity has made one new man, and it is figurative in this text. The one new man has been raised up together so that the Jew has no dominance over the Gentile, and the Gentile has no dominance over the Jew, and there is no Jewish supremacy, and God never intended for there to be supremacy between his children. He's tearing down arrogance and tradition, and he's tearing down pride, and he's tearing down malicious ideologies that have stopped us from being united in the fullness. What the problem was at that time was the Jews had a relationship with Jehovah that the Gentiles did not have. They were separated from the commonwealth of Israel and without God and without hope in this world. So says the text. But God, who is rich in mercy, wherein he have loved us, have quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. That in the ages to come, in the ages to come, he did it so that in the ages to come, he could show off his grace. That he could take something so dirty and something so religious and knit them together and make it work and call it the church. Understanding that is the precipice upon which we stand and the fundamental of our faith that is necessary for us to begin to peek through the window of the massive revelation of what God had in mind when he made the church. And then he calls it one new man, or it could be one new body, because we are a body of believers. What gives us kinship is not our historicity, it is our destiny. We are connected then, and therefore one body, not because we share history, but because we share destiny. And because of Christ, he has adopted us into the royal family, because up until now, Gentiles were separated from, watch this word, the commonwealth of Israel. I don't have time to exhaust that. But now that we have been brought nigh, we have been brought nigh to the commonwealth of Israel, the commonwealth of Israel, what Israel takes for granted, what is common for them, the enrichment of who they are. We are now able to be partakers of the same because Christ hath raised us up together and made us both to sit as equals in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. By grace you are saved. You have to understand that salvation includes empowerment. That if you get saved, there is an empowering component to it that includes the watch this phrase, the commonwealth of Israel. You need to tap into that tonight. Some of you are going through things that you need to tap into that tonight. Some of you have a vision for some things that you need to tap into the commonwealth of Israel, but you're intimidated because you don't think that it's for you. But God has raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places. And somebody type on the line, it's mine. Yeah, it's mine. It's mine. It's mine. I am a seed of Abraham. I have been adopted into the royal family, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, because Jesus has adopted us into the royal family. This is good. 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 And now has made out of twain, out of two twain, he has made one new man. So he took the two bodies of people, Gentiles and Jews, and weaved them together through the blood of the cross and made one new man. The two shall be one. This is about one new man. The text is clear. It's about one new man. In a world that's moving so fast, problems beyond our control, complicated crisis in government, pervasive poverty throughout our nation, massive injustice, and a crime rate with stress, filled with stress and trauma almost everywhere. What can one man do? Sometimes you feel helpless, you feel hopeless, you feel impotent, you feel stressed out, you feel overwhelmed. There is a dreadful feeling of impotence to resolve problems in existing even in our own homes. Forget the world and the international conflict. We can't even solve problems in our own home. At the end of the day, the biggest changes are a result of one man. When God got ready to start the nation of Israel, he started it through the Gentile loins of one man. When God got ready to create all of humanity, he did it through the body of one man. When God got ready to redeem the world, he did it through one man. When God got ready to deliver Israel from Egypt, he did it through one man. God uses one man. Why can't it be you? Why can't it be you? Why can't it be you? Currently, there are nearly 8 billion people on the planet. God doesn't use the general populace for anything. Over and over, he shows us the impact he can have with one man. That is within your reach. That is doable to you. He doesn't need 8 billion of us to agree. He just needs one new man. When God gets one man, he can turn the world upside down. The one man can be Nelson Mandela. The one man can be Abraham Lincoln. The one man can be Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. The one man, whenever God gets one man, he can do the world to turn. He can use him to turn the world upside down. My wife is hollering, T.D. Jakes. One new man. One new man. One new man named Adam. Start of all humanity. That's why we're all cousins. We're all related, because God didn't start with a committee. He started with one new man. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13 through 14 makes it very clear for us to understand the power of one new man, that God only has to whisper in one man's ear and change is ratified. You ought to let God whisper in your ear and change be ratified in your life. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, 14, for Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not the one deceived. It was the woman who was deceived and became a sinner. Therefore, just as sin entered into the world through one man, all he needs is one man. Sin climbed through the window of one man, because sin understood the power of one man, that if you're going to infect humanity with the disease of sin and death, it climbed through the window of one man. One man did it, not the woman. One man. She was deceived. He was not deceived. He was not deceived. He knew what was going on. He could have died for his bride and provoked Calvary to happen in the Garden of Eden instead of decided in the Garden of Gethsemane, but he died with his bride. Jesus came along later and died for his bride, but it was all done by one new man. I feel like teaching this night. I feel like teaching this night. I wish I had some Bible lovers out there. We've got a generation of people that love noise, but they don't love the Bible. But if there's any Bible lovers in there tonight, make some noise, get on the line, holler, hoop, yell, scream. One new man. One new man can turn your life around. There's some women that can tell you one new man can turn the house around, can turn your life around, can turn your destiny around, can turn your future around. There's some companies that'll tell you one new man. You can hire one new man. He can turn the whole office upside down. I was reading a book about Jack Welch. One new man turned an entire corporation upside down. He bought stock in it and turned it all the way around. One new man. Go back to that text. One new man. One new man can turn it upside down. We just need one new man. We don't need a committee. We don't need a board. We don't need to vote. We don't need to agree. We just need one new man that can hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying unto the church. Therefore, just as sin entered into the world through one new man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sin. Death came to all people in one new man. I want to dig into that. Death came to all people through one new man. Everybody after Adam didn't have to partake of the fruit. They were born in his sin. They were shaped in his iniquity. They didn't get a chance at righteousness. Adam was created righteous, but once sin climbed in through his window, every son he had was born in sin. That's why you have murder in the first family. You have dysfunction in the first family. You have disappointment in the first family. You have chaos in the first family. You have division in the first family because sin had climbed through the window of one new man. To be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not charged against everyone's account where there is no law. I'm still in the Word of God. Verse 13, I want you to get that. I want you to understand that sin climbed in the world, but it wasn't charged to any man because you cannot charge me for sin where there is no law. If I'm driving down the interstate and I'm doing 95 miles an hour and there is no sign that says 70 miles an hour, you cannot give me a ticket where there is no law. Now, it's true I'm driving too fast, but you can't give me the penalty of my sin because there is no law. And where there is no law, there can be no judgment. What did I break? So from Adam to Moses, what did I break? Adam had one law, not to eat of the forbidden fruit, and he broke that law. Once he broke that law, sin entered into the world. But we couldn't be judged for all the lust and all the chaos and all the confusion that we did because where there is no law, there is no sin. I'm quoting scripture. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, verse 14, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command. Whether you sinned or not, death still reigned. You still died. As did Adam, who is the pattern of the one to come. He is the pattern of the one to come. I'm about to get radical with you, so fasten your seatbelts. Glory to God. Can y'all handle a real Bible class? Can you handle a real Bible class? The Bible says in Hebrews, I believe it's Hebrews, that Levi paid tithes while he was still in the loins of Abraham. He paid tithes while he was still in the loins of Abraham to Melchizedek, meaning that when Abraham paid tithes, his great-great-grandchild got credit for the tithes while he was still a cell in his great-great-grandfather's body. That's the way sin came into the world. When Adam came into sin, all his unborn children, unlike him, were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. They didn't have a choice in the matter. They inherited sin. Yeah. Levi got blessed, even though he wasn't even a person yet, because when his great-great-grandfather got blessed paying tithes to Melchizedek, it fell down to the fourth generation. But it started with one new man. Now, the word worship means worship. And we think of worship, we always think of raising our hands or clapping our hands or laying prostrate in the floor. And that's an aspect of worship. But it's rooted in the Latin word that means worship. How much you are worth to me. Now, my tithe nor my offering all put together, if I emptied my bank account, couldn't really fully express how much you're worth. But I refuse to turn my back on the opportunity and act like you're a nothing in my life, like you're a zero in my life. When everything I got, you gave it to me, not just my stuff, my breath, my energy, my strength, the activity of my limbs, my kidneys functioning, my heart beating while I'm asleep. He has supplied all of my needs. I honor him. What shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? I've been born in him. In him I live. In him I move. In him I have my being. One new man. That if any man be in Christ, he is, not trying to be, not working on it, not improving himself, he is a new creature. All old things are passed away. All things become new. Why? Because there's only two men, the first man Adam, the last man Adam. And so when Paul writes about it here, he calls him one new man. As I hasten to a close tonight, I only brought two men with me. One man is the defendant. He brought sin into the world. We hold him on trial. He is guilty because he let up the window. He let up the window. And when he let up the window, sin came in. When the last man, Adam, came in, he opened up the door to grace. And grace came in and saved everyone that believes on him. And it was done through one new man. History says that they crucified one disciple upside down, and the other one, they cut his head off with a sword. One of them they threw in a snake pit, but they couldn't stop it. It was too late. It had already slipped in through one new man. Now my question to you, as I hasten to a close tonight, is what can you expect from God through you? If God delivered Israel, all of Israel, from the army of the Egyptians, with one man.
Come on.
If God redeemed the world with one man, if God started the creation with one man, what can he do with you? If God saved Samaria through the testimony of one woman, what can he do with you? Stop waiting on them and they and somebody ought to do something. You're the body. You're the body. Ephesians says you're the body. You're the one new man in Christ Jesus with access to the commonwealth of Israel. Get rid of your stinking thinking. There's nothing in your history that's going to justify you, but there's something in your Bible that has given you a promise. You have access to the commonwealth of Israel. Go get it. You have access to hope. Go get it. You have access to peace. Go get it. You have access to joy. Go get it. You don't need the bishop to lay hands on you. Jesus has torn down the wall of petition. You can come boldly to the throne of grace and find grace to help in the time of need. Anything I pray for is extra. God will hear you.
Yes.
Open your mouth and speak to him. And let him speak to you. Now, as I close, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for all of you who have misassigned your deliverance to somebody else's behavior. I want to pray for people who have delegated their deliverance to the choir. I want to pray for people who don't think that they'll have happiness till their husband comes back. I want to pray for people who have put their future in their wife, their girlfriend, their chick on the side. And none of them come. All you need is one new man. And you got him. His name is Jesus. And if you seek him first, everything else comes after the attaining of that one new man. You want to be in right standing with God? Start with Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And tonight, you want to grow that church? Get your mind off of your carnal, egotistical, self-righteous, trying to prove yourself to other people's self. You'll never build that church because there's too much I on the throne. Don't you know if you got I on the throne, you got Christ on the cross? But if you put you on the cross, then Christ will get on the throne. If Christ gets on the throne, he'll build the church. You've lost your consecration. You've lost your consecration. You don't act like what you're supposed to be. You're a child of the King. And it starts when we stop being ashamed of who we are and be one new man. Stop all the bickering. Stop all the arguing. People are going to do what they want to do anyway. I'm just not going to argue with you all day and night. If you don't want to do something, you don't want to do it. If you don't want to take something, don't take it. If you don't want to vote for somebody, don't vote. Look. That's not what makes us brothers. What makes us brothers is the lamb. It's not the elephant. It's the lamb. Yes, sir. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Yes, sir. It's not the donkey, baby. It's the lamb. It's time for us to get up under that one new man. And if I've reached anybody today, maybe you're a backslider and you've drifted away from God. And I understand the confusion because the church has lost its message. But it's time for you to come home. Not because Bishop Jake says so, but that one new man from Calvary's rugged hill screams out from Golgotha's mountain. Yells over the balcony of heaven, screams across the crystal sea, echoes through the ears of 24 elders, and shouts out your name. The Lord has need of you. The Lord has need of you. I know you're only one, but that's all he needs is one. And you are the one. For this generation, for this era, for this time, for this mission, I know for a fact the one is listening at me now. You are the one. And he called you. And there's nowhere to hide. And there's nowhere to run. And there's nowhere to go but safely back to Jesus. The number is on the screen right now, giving you an opportunity to connect and seal the deal. Don't just do it in your head. Don't just do it in your mind. Seal the deal tonight. While the Holy Spirit has softened up the calloused places in your heart, the indifference in your spirit, the walls of resistance that you built up against the calling and the wooing of the Holy Spirit have been shaken in the shouts. God is calling you now. Give your life to him. Father, I pray that every person under the sound of my voice that's been touched by this word would say yes to God, would surrender to the Holy Spirit, would allow the Holy Spirit to point and put his finger right in his chest and says, you are the man, the one new man. I want to do a new thing in you. The one new woman, I want to do a new thing in you. I know your mama didn't raise you. I know your sister treated you funny. I know you've always felt like an outcast, but that's because you're the one. How? You're the one. You're the one. You can't be treated like them when you're the one. You've longed to fit in, but you've always stood out because you're the one. And I want to take you to the one new man who can make you over again. Father God, in Jesus' name, save them. Sanctify them. Restore them. Heal them. Everything that the enemy did to them for evil, make it good. Everything he twisted and bruised and tormented, straighten it out. Because they have a definite destiny, or they wouldn't have had a horrible history. Now set them up straight and use them like they've never been used before. God said, I hear it. I can hear.
Hear from heaven and walk in triumph. For your gift of any amount, you'll receive the Listen to the Blood teaching and companion devotional booklet.
Listen, you're right on track. Listen, you're right on course. Listen, listen, listen.
For your gift of $90 or more, discover who you are in Christ with the 3-message series, Risen with Christ, and T.D. Jakes' revealing book, From the Cross to Pentecost, along with the Listen to the Blood teaching and devotional. For your gift of $125 or more, you'll receive the Favored by God prayer box and cards, as well as special anointing oil from Israel, in addition to everything else you see here.
Listen, God is still God. Listen, God is still in charge. Listen.
Call or click to reserve your bundle today.
Feel free to reach out to us on social media and share your story of how God is impacting your life. We look forward to seeing you next time on The Potter's Dungeon.